Good morning and bless God. Slip your hands together and bless him. With the ability that he's given you in your hands and in your body, this is the day that the Lord have made. We together collectively will rejoice and be glad in him. I am happy to be here on this day of the Lord, to be here with you in person, as well as those that are streaming with us that meet us here each Sunday. We're so delighted and elated that you have chosen this morning or decided to make this your worship experience. Amen. We know that God, who is an omnipresent God, says that the day shall come, even now, that they that worship me shall worship me or will worship me in spirit and in truth. That was the response to the request to know where are we going to assemble, in Jerusalem or here in this mountain. And the Lord says, the day is coming that is not going to be here or there, but wherever you are in the spirit of Christ, worship begins. Stand to your feet right now. Lift up your holy hands, if you don't mind for a moment, and just worship him in the beauty of his holiness. Hallelujah. God, I thank you right now for all that you are doing. I thank you, God, for all that you have done to make this moment possible. And God, I will not reduce what you have done by limiting you to being in some specific place at some specific time. But God, through the blood of Jesus Christ that have made this moment possible, I say right now, God, thank you for all of these that have sat at your feet, God, to glean of your word. Those that have come now to you to seek the morsel that comes from heaven, because it is the bread from heaven that feeds us until we shall want no more. Thank you, Lord, for those that have come by whatever way or method it shall be, whether they're streaming digitally, God, whether they're here in person, if they're listening at work, if they are at home, if this is being heard, God, 10 years from this day, we know that the power of God's word shall never cease. When heaven and earth passes away, and it shall, God's word shall stand. Slip your hands together again and bless him. Hallelujah. We're praying for all of those. You may be seated in the presence of God. We're praying for all of those that have sought prayer for their specific reasons. The prayers that we pray here publicly, and those as well that are what they call, or what we call in this current day, unspoken. So it's been a wonderful week to get here. I'm excited, you guys, because whenever people start complaining about climate, weather, nature, I get excited because there's nothing they can do about it. Man has an answer for a whole lot of things, but God can do things that all you can do is just, and that's what the songwriter meant when he said, I just won't complain. Because several months ago, as I said, when it was freezing and we couldn't drive and couldn't get to Walmart and couldn't make it to Dollar General, we were saying, oh, I can't drive because it's slipping and sliding. And now here it is. It's 100 degrees and we have no ice. So now we got to find something else to complain about. The writer said, I won't complain. Amen. I just won't complain. And it excites me because, as I say, it... And to me, it displays the power of God, and it also helps us to start growing and maturing in our faith, where it says, regardless of whatever state, when Paul writes this, he's speaking specifically to your situation, and he's speaking to your circumstance, no matter what it is. He says, I'm learning, and somebody say, that's a process to make myself what? Content. Yeah. You just don't do that. You don't grow up overnight. We are just as childish as we want to be. We just want it when we want it. We want it now. And we just nudging God. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We just wearing God out. checkout. Let me put that in at the checkout. You got a basket full of groceries and you having a fit over a candy bar. At the checkout. God has blessed you with everything that you have. And now here you are at the checkout, falling all out, having a temper tantrum because God won't get you some little piece of candy or something. Anyway, just something to open us up and lighten us up for the word this morning. As we've had prayer before I leave, I don't want it to catch him by surprise, but I had an opportunity this week, and you all know, and this is by way of testimony that I've told you that since I faith, to kind of let go of things as I've known them that God has opened up to me, the depth and the breadth of what the plan of redemption is all about. Meaning that you come in contact with people that sometimes, with all of the restrictions and the parameters, you miss, which is a missed opportunity. I don't want to rattle here. Because we've worked our way to this point, given us the liberty to see that God has a vibrant and beautiful picture of just good people that would have never set foot in this church. Come in contact with people that will never set foot in anybody's church, but they are of the Lord, passing travelers. But having an opportunity to reunite with someone after lots of years, mind it so long that I forgot. And I'm going to ask him later to come and Michael to come and just have something and say something, expression, but I didn't want to catch him by surprise. And the reason I want to do that is because we walked together and he told me about a piece of literature that I gave him, I guess, in the 90s or somewhere that I had totally forgotten about. Two Bibles I've shared with somebody. Put notes and stuff in there, and I never know when I'm going to have to go back. But I gave one to my sister, which was a Thompson Chain reference. And then obviously, I gave another one that I had forgotten about, and I gave it to Mike years ago. And he had to remind me. He also had to remind me that he actually sat under me. And that was another thing. So, that story goes on. But what happens when where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Come on, people, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. And that liberty gives you an opportunity to get out of some of that oppressed state that you're in trying to hold on to traditions. Amen. And see the beauties and the wonderful wonders of God. So want to do that later. Now, this morning, we didn't say anything about being here, but when I sent you all out your text, as you get it, you know, by whatever means, automation, invited to come with family, and it's good to see you, Michael. Just wanted to thank you for the fellowship. Now let's move forward. In the book of Ephesians, now I got to work today, so I need the saints to work with me, okay? And I've got to work. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. So I'm going to have to read a little more than I would, but I want to read only just enough so that we just don't get just lost completely. That's why you have to study. I didn't send out any verses of scripture this week, so I'm reading all of this. I guess I should have. I'm going to read it to you now. Ephesians chapter 1, and my pilot verse is going to be verse number 11. See somewhere about verse number 12. Are you ready? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasures of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mysteries of his will. I think I'll say that again. Having made known unto us the mysteries of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Here's verse number 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. His glory, who first trusted in Christ. I want you to know this verse number 10. And he's speaking about all things being in Christ. All things are in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And he points out, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance in Christ Jesus. And this was a little challenging because you want to give a thought or subject because that gives you something to associate with when you reflect back on this word. I remember the subject verse. But if I give a subject, take away from the overall effectiveness of what I aim to expound upon, if I just restrict myself to a subject. So in place of a subject, what I'd like to do is to submit to you for consideration a theme. The difference between a theme and subject is that theme is the author's opinion about the subject. So I'm looking at Ephesians 1, and I'm just going to look at it, and I'm going to give you my thoughts about this whole presentation by Paul about what has been given to us and what has been done for us and how God feels about us. And it was pretty strong, will you agree? So, I gathered is that we don't make it about us. Now, let me make it personal. I don't make it about myself, especially when I think about all that Jesus has done for me. But I cannot ignore that God thinks about me. Okay. I'm not making it about myself. But when I look at how much God has done for me, what he has made available to me, then it looks like God just makes it all about me. The book of Ephesians, in a unique way, begins outside of time. Unlike all of the other canons that are in the New Testament, you'll notice how Ephesians opens up outside of where we exist in our human existence. You've heard me read. He talks about the mind of God prior to our getting here. That makes it outside of time. Paul talks about the mind of God. There are some things here that we must give serious consideration to. And we must commit a more critical thought and do more than just read it. We should really consider what's being said here to us about us. And he's not talking to us about what's going to happen in our day-to-day, in our years past, or our years, days, tomorrow come. But he is expressing to us what has to do with us before time even began.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
Ephesians takes us pre-Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, you got to get real critical when you do this, because our little minds can't even wrap around the idea that in the beginning, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. We're still wrestling with that. And then Ephesians takes us outside of Genesis 1 and 1, before God even said, let there be light. You got to commit some serious critical consideration to this book, because it starts talking about the mind of God. Now, immediately, I have already concluded, and this is up to you now.
Didn't I say this is a theme?
I have concluded that I didn't actually become blessed when I came and committed myself to a church. That's not the day that I put on the calendar that this is the day that I started being blessed. You and I didn't actually become strong when we came to church. Now, some leaders will make you think that. If you didn't come here, you'd never be this strong. I don't want you to be duped. You were strong when you drove up. Pulled up, you are already strong. As a matter of fact, how did you even get there? Having been led by the Spirit. So I didn't actually become gifted when I came to church.
Thank you, Mother.
Paul in Ephesians points out that I was gifted in Christ Jesus before God catabole threw things into existence. I was already blessed before there was a Sunday, a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, Thursday, or a Friday. I was already blessed.
But I think about this. Wednesday is not even hump day anymore. I'm going to let you work with that. Paul in Ephesians points out that I was gifted in Christ Jesus before God threw things into existence. And so consequently, because of how profound the book is, you're going to find that Paul said that he had to pray for us. He had to pray for us that our eyes of understanding be enlightened. He said, I got to pray for you that your eyes are open so that you can see the depth of what's really going on. And after yesterday, seeing what's happening in the news, we need to know really because when it comes to what God has done for us, we need God to speak to our hearts, not CNN, not CBS, not ABC, not NBC, not Facebook, not Twitter, not TikTok, not X. We need God to speak to our hearts, to open up to us the gigantic blessing that he has bestowed upon us. I need somebody to pray for me today because I want the Holy Ghost to just slay me. Because our minds can't grasp without God helping us. So Paul already prayed for us, Jock, that our minds would be open to receive what God really wants us to come to understand. The things that God is doing right now should be influencing our thinking. And when we think about the idea that he has prayed for us, we should conclude that I will not be conformed to this world, but I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. God and what he has said to us should have an influence on the way we think. When folk come and put a bug in our ear, sometimes we need to spray some Raid on it and get that mess out of here. Shut up our ear gate. And say, Lord, you speak to my heart. Don't let me get stuck. Don't y'all pray too hard. I won't make it to the end. Y'all slow down a little bit. You're praying too hard now because I feel it. Yeah, you gotta watch now because everybody got something to tell you that they think that you need to know in order to make it. Paul says, I'm praying for you that your understanding be enlightened so that you can hear from God. That's why since August of last year, I've had you to disconnect from Don. If you don't pull it, I'm going to pull the plug. And stop using me as an extension cord between you and God. Because extension cords burn up. But when you plug in yourself, you ain't got to wait on me to give you some prophetic word and tell you something gonna happen next week. When how can something happen next week when you can't even confine God to time? And I got you waiting to next week and God twiddling his thumbs, waiting on you to thank him because it already has come to pass. Everything that God is doing right now is God moving us to know who we are in Christ Jesus. Did y'all hear what I said? Everything that he's moving us to is to let us know who we really are in Christ Jesus. We have been led to believe that our struggles are not over until our circumstances change. Y'all still hearing me? We are taught, and you got to watch it now, because you'll hear this, and when you sum it up, the conclusion of it all is that your struggle ain't over until your circumstances change. Can I go get some folk from the Old Testament? Shadrach, Meshach, Daniel, y'all. Did y'all have to wait until you got out of the fiery furnace for you to open your mouth and say, "The God that I serve is able to deliver"? And if not, even if the circumstances don't change. Boy, I got some folk in here today. Y'all praying hard, because I'm messed up here. I'm messed all the way up. We have been led to think that until our struggle is over, then we have no reason to just lift our hands and be grateful and thankful. But the divine truth is, our struggles are over when we understand who we are in Christ Jesus. Huh? Isn't that what the prophet did when he was in the lion's den? He discovered who he was in God. So I can coexist with the lions. I don't need the lions to be banished for me to know who I am in God. Y'all praying the wrong folks away. You're praying your enemies away. Keep them. I got to give me some new haters, because the haters I got now have started to like me. Huh? Lions that are supposed to eat me is over here keeping me warm. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So now, it's significant here, because most of our battles in building a stronger relationship with God is being able to distinguish what is spiritual and what is connected to the Spirit of God. Let me make sure this is clear. My battle now is building a relationship with God. Y'all got that? And now I've got to distinguish between what is spiritual, connecting me to the Spirit of God, and what is sensual, or what is connecting me to the world by my flesh. I got to work on this. You see, every person who strives for the mastery in faith is caught between what is spiritual and what is sensual. Y'all with me? And it doesn't matter how long you've been walking in your faith, you still have to work every day on what is of God and what is of my flesh. You battle, and you battle every day. Let me tell y'all how y'all say it. I think I got another way to say it. I have to deal with walking by faith and not by sight. Y'all got it then, didn't you? Every day the battle is dealing with what I am in the spirit and faith that connects me to God by the Spirit, and what I see in the world every day. You see, my sight connects me to the world. And when I see it, then I start creating a new situation. Well, I'm finna help y'all today. And now I'm all of a sudden in a new circumstance. So now, my sight says, my finances are not going to come out right. My sight says, Lord, I hope my child don't end up in jail. My sight says, Lord, my auntie is sick and I don't think she's going to make it this time. But then on the other side, I have my faith that tells me that all sickness is not unto death. On the other side, I have the writer telling me that I'm much too much gifted to ever be broke. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? You see, there is not a day that goes by that we're not caught between what we believe and what we see. Can y'all say amen? Amen. Every day you're working with it. And you see, it's my connection to this world through my senses. How am I connected to this world? Through what I see. That persistently pulls me into expecting to see God in my circumstance. It's trying to get me to see God. But what God says is, I don't have to show up in your circumstance for you to believe that I am here. Now, I want you to be honest. Go ahead, and ain't nobody going to be paying you no attention. They looking at me right now. How many of y'all waiting on God to show up in your circumstance? Uh-huh. Show up in my finance. Show up in my household. Show up in my job. God is telling you, I don't have to show up in your circumstance. What you've got to believe is that I'm always here with you. Uh-huh. It is a struggle. Not a day passes that I'm not seeking God to not be conformed to this world, but that I be transformed by the control of my mind by faith in the things of God. Are y'all hearing me? I've got to combat and defeat Satan, who's trying to control me by everything that I see. Uh-huh. And I'm adamant about this right now. Even after I've spent this many years with God, believe me, it's a struggle when I try to believe above what I see. Oh, yeah, I ain't going to lie on me. I'm going to tell the truth on me. It's a struggle. And that's why you need to be connected to somebody that is not down when you're down. You don't need no yes person to say, Lord, it's just rough out here. Yeah, child, show it, show is. You need to grab you somebody that asks you, what that you talking? Huh? You don't need nobody to help you. Here you are going to jump in the grave, and then they're going to help put the dirt on you. You better get somebody that when life presses you down, they reach down in there and they tell you, not today. Maybe another day, but y'all praying too hard, I promise you. I hope you're with me here. I guess may as well go to work now. What God is doing here in his word is he's bringing us to understand the depth of what he has done for us. Are we on the same page? In here, Regina, he wants us to know not just I've done some stuff, but today I want you to see just how much I've done for you. And he wants, and him wanting us to see what he has done for us now outlines who I am to him when I see how much he has done for me. I'm no longer nobody. I'm somebody, because now I see what he has done for me, and I know who I am to him. What God has done determines who we are. Is that clear? In Christ Jesus. He determines our position. He determines our possessions, and he determines our responsibility. Stay with me. I cannot have possessions in Christ without being in the right position. Preach, Don. And if I have a possession, now, consequently, I have a responsibility. Because there can be no position without a possession. And there can be no possession without a responsibility. Help me, Jesus Christ. For this cause came I into the world. Huh? Are you with me now? If I'm not responsible to be positioned, then I'm out of place. I'm not responsible to be positioned. No. I'm responsible after I am positioned. That's what I'm trying to say. You see, God puts me in a place first. And then he declares, because I have put you in this place, I'm expecting from you a whole new attitude. Here you are with that nightclub attitude, sitting up here in the presence of God. And he positioned you in the heart of his spirit. And here you are with that old attitude. Now that you've been positioned, look at somebody and say, fix your attitude. He expects an attitude from me. I pray y'all getting it right here. So then my faith has to ignore my situation. Because my situation wants me to have a bad attitude. Oh, I wish I could preach. What you mad at me for? I didn't do anything to you. And you stopped speaking to me for what? That bad attitude. Here you are, God did what he did. And you got attitude up above your eyebrows. My faith has to ignore my situation. Huh? You ain't got to speak to me. I spoke to you. That's your situation that got you not hearing. Oh, I thought you said you love me. I do love you. Can't you see it? That's your situation that's got you all locked up, shut up, bound up. Can't get free. I'm preaching here now. My faith has to help me ignore my situation to determine my viability in my position. I know who I am in spite of what I'm going through. How many can say that today? I know who I am in spite of what I'm going through. Can I say something else? A whole lot of y'all don't look like what you've been going through. That's because you've adjusted your attitude. Who she thinks she is? She just work at Walmart. Who does she think he think he is? He ain't even making minimum wage. No, I ain't gotta think at all. I know who I am by virtue of whose I am. It's significant here because he speaks to my mind and he doesn't change circumstances. I hope I ain't holding y'all too long. He speaks to my mind, and y'all better write this down. He doesn't change the circumstance. But what he does is he speaks to my mind. But he doesn't change the circumstance. Come on round again, Don. He speaks to my mind, but he doesn't change the circumstance. Most of us, we are seeking God to change the situation. I've discovered that if God changed me, I can change my own situation. Can I digress for a minute? Ain't no counselor come and tell me that I need to fix something that I already know that's wrong with my own self. Ain't no counselor, God. I ain't saying don't get counsel. But what I'm trying to tell you, if you'd hear what Ephesians is telling you today, you're waiting on God to change the situation. But if you allow him to speak to your mind, you'll discover
that you can change your situation, your own self. Can I go farther? When I hear God in verse number 4, let me get your text. In verse number 4, God is saying, I have chosen in him before I was, I was chosen in him before when? The foundation of the world. When was I chosen? Before the foundation of the world. Now, y'all gonna have to work. Lord, don't y'all leave me out here by myself, okay? Now listen. I was what in him? Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. I went to school too much. Because when I hear that God had to choose something, in my mind, in my human cognizance, I say, when did God have to choose something? Which means that the word chosen is an anthropomorphic term that simply means I'm going to try to explain something to you that happens in heaven that earth don't have a word for. So all I could do was use the word that you know as being chosen. So now in my little mind, catch me, Tad, I'm saying, God, when I think of chosen and I want a suit, I don't know exactly what I want, so I got to go shopping. And then I'm going to go from store to store so that I can choose which suit that I want that I didn't know until I saw it. And then now that I see it, I like it, so I choose it. So now, is God going down through the supermarket of souls and he choosing you? And then he say, well, I need, and then he goes and he choose you. Deciding who he's going to take. Are y'all working with me? How does God choose? I'm glad you ask. You see, God is omniscient. I'm answering verse number 4. God is what? Omniscient. What does that mean? He knows everything. And he has all knowledge. Quote, unquote, at all times. Now that means that God has all information at all times, and I'm quote and unquoting times, because eternity has no time. So that's all I can say is time. But God is eternity, so he has no time. God always had all information from the beginning of time, quote unquote. And because he has no beginning, that means that he has always had all information. Now, that says that there is never a time that God in his existence and that God didn't know everything. I'm working here now. So then, when God knew himself and he always knew himself, who he would choose. So he never had to choose because he always knew. That's why he chose me before the foundation of the world, because I was always in the mind of God. Whew. I can't go through that no more. What are you trying to say, preacher? There ain't never a time that God didn't know me. Because there is no starting time for God to know who Don is. God have always known who I am. Why? Y'all ain't with me here today. I think I'm out here by myself. When did he choose? Somebody help me. He always knew. Because there is no beginning what? To God. There is no time in existence of God that he doesn't have how much information? All information. That means that when he knew he was God, And he always knew that he was God. He always knew that you would be right here. I'm coming in now. He already knew that you'd be sitting in that chair with your arm up like this. Sitting right there with your arms in your lap. Sitting over there trying to stay awake. Sitting back there waiting for me to come on in. Looking at your watch saying he long-winded. He already knew it. He already knew who would be here and who would not be here. God could have told you how many empty chairs there would have been on this 14th day of July 2024. Let me help y'all. He already knew who you would be married to. He already knew how much she loved you and how much you love him. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? He didn't have to get up this morning and try to fix something that he already knew. Why? Because he always had all of the information. You know, it befuddles me when we think that we're giving God some new information. You know, I've been in the mind of God, and I am as old as God is, and God is ageless. So I want to ask y'all a question before I leave y'all today. Why are you sitting right here, right now, worried about how things are going to come out in your life when God have already predetermined and told you, lo, I will be with you all ways, even until the end of, quote, time, unquote, time. It's for everybody else now to stand in judgment about dawn. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? But before the foundation of the world, God already knew who dawn was. I give you an A+ for trying to tell me that I'd never make it. I give you a B- for telling me that I'd never amount to anything. And you got an F because you thought that your opinion of me was going to change what I thought about what God already knows about me. You flunked. And the ditches that you dug for me, you don't need to dig too. The one you dug, that is for you. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Because I know who I am in God. So now, there is no question about giving God some new information. I want to work this out. Are y'all going to stay with me? Because God always knows who is his. Because when did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. So now, he don't have to work out who he's going to choose the way we know it. You see, now, you're going to try to take a monopoly. And when I come to your church, you're going to try to make me think that if I didn't come, you didn't come here, you never would have discovered how good God was to you. Because I need to keep them. Can I preach everything? Can I preach the whole orchestra? Because I got to keep you on the hook. I got to make you think that you're getting some new stuff since you got here. Instead of expounding upon what God already did, and I'm blessed for you to be here. You hear what I'm saying? I like the way Peter said it. He says, it's good for us to be here. And it's so good that I just want to stay here. Let's just build some tabernacles and let's just don't leave. And that's how I'm feeling about this sermon right now. I hate to let it go, but it's about over right now. And I'm just so into this that I just want to hold on to it. I can't surprise God with some new information.
That is why, catch me now, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Somebody say, help me. I'm glad you did. You see, you heard it said that if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. Well, now, that's church folk talking. God does not give gifts and then take them back. The reason is because he had all the information about what you were going to do with the gift before he gave it to you. And if he already had the information, he knew you were going to be good or you were going to act a fool. But if he didn't want you to have it, he wouldn't have ever given it to you in the first place. Whether you use it or not, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Why? Because he always knew what you were going to do. Clap your hands and give God praise right there. Tell your neighbor he already knew. So that is why you should never judge your salvation by your gifts. Lord, because help me, Holy Ghost, there's some people with gifts that's going to go to hell. Because you don't judge your salvation based on your gift. You judge your salvation by your relationship with God. You don't judge your salvation on what you gifted with. You judge your salvation on your fruit. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Yes, so now when you understand this, then we're going to consider. I'm in my last thing now. Look at Ephesians 1. Nothing is as sure as my salvation. Come on now. Y'all work with me right here. Nothing is as sure as my salvation. You hear what I'm saying? Nothing is as sure as my salvation. Nothing is as sure as God saving me. What is sure? God saved me. Why? I'm glad you asked, because nothing is as sure as the shed blood of Jesus Christ that saved me. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Of all the flaky folks that you know, that are, I'm talking about flaky. There is nothing as sure as who Jesus is to you and who you are to him. And I need somebody right here in this message to say, he shedded his blood for me. It is as certain, my salvation is as certain as God's love. My salvation is as powerful as God's omnipotence. And my salvation is as great as God's immutability. Yeah. So now there is no devil in hell that can stop God from bringing salvation. Y'all help me right here. There is no devil in hell that can stop God from bringing salvation. Those that he chose before the foundation of the world. And the devil in hell can't stop it. Oh God, you see, somebody said, oh God, that you wasn't gonna ever sit here. But God said, on the contrary, he is mine and I am his. Yes, too often now we try to hold God hostage to how we feel about folks. I'm trying to help y'all now. Say he helping us. But see, we've got to grow now, Tracy, to where we stop feeling certain ways about certain people. Based on certain cultures, certain races, certain ethnicities. You see, you can't hold God hostage with your attitude, thinking that you're going to hold up his salvation. Because God does not back up because you got a bad attitude. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? Yes, you don't think now that because God gave you the will to decide some stuff, that now you can decide to choose God or leave him. It don't work like that. If God wants you
Somebody say it. He's going to have you. If God wants you, then there ain't but one thing that you can say. Lord, here I am. You thought that because you are who you are, that you made yourself who you are. But you give somebody a light high five, and I ain't gonna say this too much, and I don't say it often, but I want you to tell them and remind them, you are not who you are because of who you made yourself, but you are who you are because of who God made you. Am I right about it? I've got news for y'all today. You never made it about a choice that you made about your own self. And that's the only reason that anybody can now see anything decent in Don. And you know what bothers me now? When somebody says something good about you, you got your shoulders all in the air. I'm like, yeah, I knew it all the time. And I just think I knew it all the time. And I just think, oh, you just ought to sit yourself down. You ain't nothing. Come on, somebody, without God. Go ahead and say it. I didn't choose him, but he chose me. Do you know that when God chose you, time, unquote, that he did not consult with you and say, Michael, is it all right with you that I use you as my servant? Oh, no. He did not come to you and ask you like you ask your wife, will you marry me? Oh, no. He said, you've been mine ever since the foundation of time. Come on, somebody. You need to know that you can't treat God like you treat your boyfriend, and some of y'all change them like you change your shoes. Oh, Lord. And I want y'all to know that God ain't your boo. Oh, Lord. You can't two-time him. Oh, you can't whine him and dine him. Oh, God. Come on, somebody. Y'all go ahead and get happy. You can't two-time God because he chose you. Yes, he did. Somebody say, when did he chose me? He chose you when you were dusty. He chose you when you were musty. He chose you when you were untrusty, when you were trifling and tricky. Y'all don't hear me? But he already knew that one of these days I'm going to take old dusty, musty, untrusted Don, and I'm going to wash him in my blood. I'm gone now. I'm going to wash him. I'm gonna wash him in my blood. Oh, yes. So somebody thought a long time ago that it was over for Don. He's a wash. He's a has-been. He's a done-over. Oh, yes. But when you counted me out before the foundation of the world, he counted me in. I'm finished. There ain't no need of me going on. There ain't no need. There ain't no need for me to go any farther. Before the foundation, he chose. Huh? Let me get a little deeper. But I'm going to talk this out now. Because I don't want y'all to get lost in the hooping. Now, the Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive me if I confess my sins. Watch it now. This where people gonna hold you hostage. You see, the way he worked it was, is that he brought grace. Because he already knew that I was going to need a way out when he put me in my flesh. And he ain't gonna take me out of my flesh just to save me. Well, sometime I want to get out of here, Lord. If you just get me out of my flesh, he ain't gonna get you out of your flesh. Your flesh is your situation. Your flesh is your circumstances. Somebody say, help me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in your sensuality. God is greater than what you can see, smell, touch, hear. Huh? All of that, God, somebody say he's greater than that. So now, since I got all wrapped up in my flesh, dusty, musty, untrusted, tricky, and trifling, he already knew I was going to be all of that. So what he did was, is he said, now I can't deal with them with just grace, but I got to deal with them directly with my justice. So what he did was, is he sent God, somebody say double jeopardy. He said, Jesus Christ that shed his blood that was the remission for every sin that I could ever permit. So now, when he deals with me on his justice, he will not again hold me again accountable for what the blood of Jesus has already done. Y'all gotta stay with this. I had to make this clear right here. He's not gonna come back, say double jeopardy one more time, because you can't charge me twice for the same act. And I've already been washed, somebody say, of all my sins. So now what he deals with us, now he deals with, is called justice. And y'all said favor ain't fair. But let me tell you what really ain't fair. And I'm finna blow your mind now. Justice ain't fair. Because justice now says that since the sin has already been covered, I can now give him something that he don't deserve, which means now I have a right to an inheritance that you don't want me to have and you don't think I deserve, because you're basing it on what you see, but God is doing it because of what he knows. And he, y'all still ain't getting it. He already know everything that you ain't got over with. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's coming out too. Because in the final scheme of things, everything that ain't finished with you, tell your neighbor, God gonna finish it. So now all you need to do is sit back, and you ought to just relax and watch God's glory shine upon me. Because it's his justice. Oh, y'all not hearing that. His justice. Y'all thinking about favor, because all y'all got is, I got a new car, and then I got a new house, and I got a woman. You ain't got that. What you got? So now somebody that's homeless, they ain't got. You ain't even got no favor on your life. You ain't got no favor on yours either. If you think that God is wrapped up in somebody having a house, the cartel got houses, but yours don't look as big as theirs. Huh? The cartel got homes. They got whole islands, and you ain't, where your island at? In the kitchen? That's the only island you got. And cartel, then you want to flex now with all of what you got and talking about you got favor. I can't read favor by you showing me something that you bought with some money. Huh? You can't flex with me and talk about, well, you got to know that I'm blessed. And we're going to follow people. You ought to follow people that you can see the anointing on their life. And you measuring that anointing by what they possess. You ain't looking at no fruit. You ain't trying to find no fruit. You're not seeing anything that shows true relationship with God. That's why I say it has to do with justice, is because now that the blood of Jesus have washed me clean, and now see, justice does this. It convicts the devil, so that when the devil tries to bring up my past, God shows him my future. Oh my God. And he says, you think you stunting him and you think you're stopping him, but you keep on looking at him, devil, because the one that you think that you got held back, in a few moments I have not seen, ear have not heard, and I'm not talking about what I own either. I'm talking about the liberty that I'm standing in right now. And if somebody can really perceive, and somebody got true revelation, then you ought to stand to your feet, because you know what I'm talking about. Because there ain't a doctrine, there ain't a denomination, there ain't a this or a that that can stop me from declaring the unadulterated word of God. Now that's justice, because I'm not fit to preach it, but God will take the foolishness of preaching to confound the wisdom of this world. I don't have to be the president. I am the anointed of God. I don't have to be a bishop. I don't have to be an elder. I am
the anointed one of God. God is making over. I pray God that it helped you out of some stuff. Because if we keep listening, we're going to hear so much until we just don't know which way to turn. God said, I don't want you confused. I'm not the author of confusion. I want you to operate. Ask the full chairs.
And then if I raise up my voice, that's because I just got a habit of getting excited.
I can talk quietly and stay calm. Work most of the time.
Because when ain't nobody in this room and y'all were viewing on
Roku or whatever you watching on, I didn't have nobody in here but the saints was standing. And I like them sometimes better than I like y'all. Now, they don't ever sit down. They just stand up the whole time. And then when I come in, he put me in an E flat. And ain't nobody sitting at the organ. And I just go crazy in here over the word of God. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. There ain't no devil in hell. Come on, somebody. No devil in hell that's going to come in here and try to convince me right now that I ought not have a full positive attitude about who I am in God. And that's what I wanted you to walk out of here today with. Huh? You got to do that. And my wife and I have a pact. We've had to grow to this. We've had to get to this. We've had to do this. Until you love God with all of your heart and your soul and your mind, don't come at me talking about you love me. You love him with all of it. And then he'll give me the portion of what you give, of what he has to me. Yeah. Huh? If you don't do what I just said, you're going to end up saying these words: I thought you said you loved me. You love God with how much of it? How much of it? You don't want no love that I got to give that God ain't giving you from me. Because that mess slanted, full of conditions. Huh? But when God gives you the love that I have for you, ask for just a little bit more.
All right, then. The disciples love Jesus. Do you agree?
Well, why couldn't they love stop him from going to Calvary?
I can't hear nobody.
They didn't understand his love. If I don't go, I can't love you all the way. I got to go so the comforter can come to perfect the love that I have for you while I'm here.
Sometimes I think if you love me, you wouldn't go. If I
didn't love you, hold it real tight, and this love is right here. All the love that they had for Jesus Christ
didn't stop him from dying. All the love they had for him didn't stop him from going to Calvary. They loved
him,
but it didn't stop
him
from going.
Greater love has no man.
Spiritual, and we are bombarded. bombarded by all of these relationships in the natural.
And I'm married, and you married, and you married, and you married, and we going down through here, and we got somebody we going through, and I ain't got nobody that I'm going through.
But when we get it together with God first, then we can work this thing out in the natural. But if you don't work it out with God first, get ready for another divorce. Get it right with God. Somebody say you'll understand what relationship is all about.
Huh? Until somebody
see how you love God.
There's no way they're going to see how you love them.
That's why in the Old Testament, God didn't give you himself. He gave you stuff.
I tell you what, I'm going to give you this. You go into the promised land, call it your mind, let me see how you treat that.
How did they treat it? All in the Old Testament, he gave them things. Then when he came to the New Testament, he says, now I ain't giving you things, I'm going to give you work.
Give them over your time. See what they do with your time. See if they respect. See if they have a regard for your time. Oh, you're lucky. They have no regard for it. I guess not.
I pray that the words that have fallen from my lips
be the words that have come from heaven's chambers, full of spirit and fire. Now, God, all information, all of it was information. No
revelation from my lips, just information.